For more than 1.5 million young people in the United States, school is home. There's no getting on a bus. There's no lining up in hallways because learning is done at home with a parent or two. By recent estimates, about 3% of students in California and about 3.5% in Oregon are taught at home. And when you stop to think about it, parents can probably use a little support from time to time. Such support is available, and one option for homeschool families in the Eugene Springfield area is the Cascadia Learning Cooperative, offering classes for kids several days a week. We have two guests with us. Melissa Palma is the Cascadia Learning Cooperative Administrator. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
And Meredith Branch is with us. She's also a co-founder, teacher, and volunteer coordinator. Meredith, good to talk to you as well.
Good to talk to you.
So give us a sense first, Melissa, for your own experience. I mean, you apparently have homeschooled your own kids. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And what led you to take that step?
What was your question again?
What led you to homeschool your kids?
Oh, I just really was excited about the idea of teaching my kids in a really holistic way where I can focus on their academics, but also their social growth, emotional growth. And I'm a certified teacher, actually. And, it made me just want to teach my kids at home and have a little bit more time with them to set some, foundational educational opportunities for them.
And Meredith, a similar story for you and your choice to homeschool?
I have a cold. I really wanted to expose my kids to real life. I started off thinking that homeschooling or schooling is really not the most holistic way to do it inside of a classroom with a group of same age peers, and that we could do better by going out in the community and spending, really a fraction of the time that we needed to do actual learning, book learning, math and things like that. It doesn't really take very long at home, but what was more important to me was just getting out in the world and doing volunteer work and, taking hikes and just really experiencing what life has to offer rather than being stuck in a building all day.
So the two of you had clear ideas about what you wanted to accomplish and apparently enough expertise to do it. I mean, but even in your situation, did you feel sometimes like you could have used support from other people, Meredith?
Oh, yes. No, I have homeschooled always, and there's absolutely no way that I could have done it without the support of other parents and homeschoolers. It is so important. People cannot do this alone.
And Melissa, so what led then to the creation of the Cascadia Learning Cooperative?
When I moved to Oregon about 3.5 years ago, I was looking for my peers. I was like, where are the homeschoolers at? And so, I went online and I researched, homeschoolers, unschoolers. I really tried to find my peers so that I didn't have to do it alone, and found that a lot of people homeschool from home and with maybe a small group of friends, or they've made their own little tiny co-op. And then I was thinking, I just, like Meredith said, I don't want to do this alone. So I created Cascadia with Meredith's help and a bunch of other parents' participation as well.
So there was really nothing else like it, it sounds like.
No, there used to be something called HomeSource, but it shut down a few years ago, and there has not been anything like it since.
Melissa, you mentioned homeschoolers and unschoolers. I noticed the use of that term on the website for CLC as well. What does that mean, unschoolers?
Unschoolers take more of a student-led approach. It's child-directed learning, so you might take your one child who's fascinated with frogs and loves frogs, everything frogs, and you might really hone in on what their interests are and do lessons on frogs and, cater your math projects to frogs and science to frogs. And then, the next, month, your child might be more interested in, volunteering someplace. And so you set that up. So it's more child-directed, I would say.
All right. So it's not like there's no learning going on. I mean, they're not unschooled in the sense of, not having any chance at education at all.
No, not at all. It's tons of learning. It's more, it's immersed in the community, and it's based on what your child is interested in, I would say.
So, Meredith Branch, when you pulled the Cascadia Learning Cooperative together, was there an assessment among the people who expressed interest early on about the kinds of things they needed? Did you tailor the program along what people were talking about their needs were?
We definitely talked to a lot of parents. I know for myself, I was feeling like we needed to tap into the larger collective of homeschooling parents. I had been one of those people who had done little tiny co-ops out of people's houses. But, you know, we had kind of exhausted our repertoire of subjects and expertise among, you know, the group of six or eight different parents, and we needed to go bigger. And so really that was what we needed to, why we needed to expand. And so pretty much everyone that I knew was in agreement with that. And so it was pretty easy to put out a convincing statement of why we needed to have a larger group.
Meredith Branch and Melissa Palma are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, principals in the creation of the Cascadia Learning Cooperative in the Eugene-Springfield area to help out homeschool families. And we'll get further into exactly how that's done as we continue the conversation, which you are welcome to join. Phone number is here at 800-838-3760. Email box open at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Melissa, what kinds of offerings do you have, and how much have those grown over the time since CLC opened?
We're open 3 days a week, and we're open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We have three different classes for three different age groups happening. So we have classes loosely divided for 6 to 7 year olds in one group, 8 to 10 year olds in another group, and 11 to 14 year olds in a third group. So on any given day, let's see, like today, let me tell you what's happening today. There's intro to drawing. There's a lunch crew that makes us lunch. There's a book club where they're studying Fahrenheit 451, a survey of sciences, a winter fun art class for the little ones, creative writing. So on any given day, there's going to be a variety of classes offered. And then we also infuse 45 minutes of free time that's unstructured 3 times a day as well.
And what ages do you bring into the Cascadia Learning Cooperative?
6 to 14 years old, around.
Okay, and why does it stop at 14?
Well, right now we're just not feeling like we have a big enough group of homeschool, high schooler age kids. So, we're trying to develop a program to keep going older. We just have to make sure that there's a need for it in the community.
All right, Meredith, you had talked about kind of exhausting your repertoire of the people in the smaller co-ops you'd been part of before, which makes me wonder then what the situation is like for parents then. I mean, particularly if you're not a professional educator, as you two are, what kind of situation you get into sometimes with trying to keep kids engaged in homeschool all day?
Well, you know, I am actually not a professional educator.
Oh, okay.
I have a degree in something else completely, but you don't have to be a professional educator to homeschool. That's the thing. That's kind of the classical misnomer, I believe. You just have to know your kids. And honestly, if you have a small group of children, which is kind of the goal anytime you have people in a learning situation, in a homeschooling learning situation, you know, you don't have to have a degree in teaching. You just have to have genuine enthusiasm for learning. On both ends, from the kids' perspective and from the adults. So I never had trouble, you know, leading a group of 5 children in an activity. So especially if it's something that I'm enthusiastic about and they want to learn, it makes a big difference.
In addition to what you offer at Cascadia Learning Cooperative on the days that you're open, which are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you offer any support back for parents, though, things that they can take home with them and use in their own programs at home?
Well, we do have a resource library here of people who have donated curriculum and things like that. But honestly, I feel like the main thing that we can send parents home with is just support and advice. You know, people come here, and while their kids are in class, they can talk about it. They can say, you know, we are trying this math curriculum and it's just not working, and there are other parents sitting around, and they can prove as be a soundboard for, you know, what's going on, and maybe make suggestions. And that's really comforting to know that you can come here and have people to talk to and get advice from that have done it for longer.
And so, Melissa Palma, give us an idea of what the curriculum requirements are. I mean, in the example that Meredith just gave, I mean, struggling with a math curriculum, how much contact is there between homeschool families and the state educational apparatus or the education service district or whichever to make sure that there is some adherence to curriculum?
Well, we have in Oregon, the state law requires that students take the standardized state tests. I think it's 3rd, 5th, 8th grade, maybe 11th grade too. And as long as parents are you know, educating their children at home, and their children perform above the, I think it's the 15th or 25th percentile as compared to their peers in Oregon, then they're all set to go. And if a child tests lower than that percentage, then the state of Oregon steps in and sees what's going on and what kind of support that child needs, and then you might need to be a little bit more involved. But otherwise, it's a pretty, I would say, hands-off experience with the state of Oregon, which is kind of nice because not all states are like that.
If the standardized benchmarks aren't met, though, I mean, does the state get more aggressive? I mean, is there any requirement, I guess, at some point that public school does become compulsory?
I do think that happens. If you test, like I said, if your child tests under a certain percentage, then the state of Oregon does get involved and gets a little bit more aggressive about what's going on at home. And then you have to test the very next year. And if you don't improve upon last year's scores, then I think that public education might become mandatory at that point.
We're talking to Melissa Palma and Meredith Branch from the Cascade Learning Cooperative, which supports homeschoolers in the Eugene-Springfield area with programs at their site 3 days a week. You can join the conversation about homeschooling and specifically what Cascadia Learning Cooperative does here on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions or comments, welcome at 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. How many people are taking part of the programs these days, Meredith?
I believe, let's see, Melissa, you might have to back me up here. Do we have 25 families?
Yeah, it's around 25 families or just over 40 students.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was going to ask about the multiples, and it sounds like there's a fair percentage of families where they're teaching more than one child at home at a time.
Yes, that's very common. So,
what kinds of issues does that create when kids are learning at different rates and in different ways and perhaps need different pacing for the day?
You know, a lot of parents make it work. You can easily do a project that covers multiple bases. Like if you're learning about frogs, you know, you don't have to be a certain age to study frogs. You can be 6 and you can be 14, and you can take away completely different things from such a project. That's really, really common. Also, people just space it out. While one child is busy doing something, maybe even sleeping. you can be working with the other child on math. The thing about homeschooling, we homeschool at all times of the day. I mean, my son routinely does math with his dad at like 9 o'clock at night.
people are available, when the interest is there.
Yeah, and when you kind of know in the rhythm of your child when he's learning best. And also, honestly, that's when my husband is available at home. That's by the time everybody gets back from sports practices and things like that, you know, that's when they have time to sit down and do it. So we have no time in my own family where we sit down and we're like, okay, today we're going to do homeschooling from 8 to 10. You know, that's just not my reality. Other people may do that, but in fact, I know they do. But a lot of us just kind of school on the fly with the actual structured component. And then the rest of it, I feel like my kids get a lot of supplemental stuff from just being out and about in life, and then from Cascadia, and then they pick up books and read at random times, and it's not all structured.
Is homeschooling a good idea for high school age children? I just wonder about the social. I mean, not the socializing in general, because it sounds like they're getting plenty of exposure to other people, certainly in the way you do it, Meredith. But
yes.
I mean, for exposure to each other, you know, the way teenagers can tend to cluster within just their own age cohort. I wonder if it's more important for them to be in school in high school.
Well, I can speak to this because my daughter had been homeschooled her entire life, and this year she chose to go to high school, and she is loving it. You know, it definitely expanded her social base, and she really enjoyed that. Especially here in Eugene-Springfield, since there are no high school homeschool options, the kids tend to start filtering out in middle school, and we found that her social base was, I mean, she still had friends who went to school, but it's really hard to coordinate your schedule with people who go to school because they're very busy, as she is now.
Right.
So she has really enjoyed high school, and it's been an effortless transition for her, and
So, Melissa Palma, where do you see things going in the future for Cascadia Learning Cooperative? What are you not doing now that you can see doing in the future, would like to be doing in the future?
We have a number of parents who are wanting to have a high school homeschool program, like I said, and that could fill the need that Meredith was talking about for that social component for teenagers. So that's a question mark if that's actually going to happen or not. There's also parents who on the other end are really hoping for a preschool option because they have one child who's 8 and another who's 4, and they're, you know, going to different places, and they love the community component here, and are like, can we just have a preschool? So we might expand our ages, but at the moment, we are just perfectly full. We have a wait list that we just started this year for the first time, and we love our program. So there's always room for growth and improvement, but at the moment, we're just really happy with the way things are going.
All right. Well, we'll check in on you in the future and see if there is growth there. We're talking to the folks at Cascadia Learning Cooperative, where Melissa Palma is the administrator, Meredith Branch, co-founder, volunteer coordinator. I want to thank you both for joining us today to talk about homeschooling on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.